Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Well, hello everyone. If you survived that match between Roma and Napoli, let me first welcome you. Secondly, let me put this time aside to tell you, now would be the time to book the appointment with your cardiologist, because being subjected to that, if the Geneva Convention were being formed today, what we were subjected to in that second half would absolutely, absolutely be classified as cruel and unusual punishment. But before we get into that, of course, to our patrons, thank you. That was a wild, wild ride. If you would like to join the group chat, get post-match reaction episodes, early access to the episodes, patreon.com/RomaPress, and then on social media, including YouTube at @IsRomaPress. Should we begin with, there's no point to even discuss the first half, right? Because 0-0, wasted chances. The only thing of note is Svilar somehow keeping Napoli out from the back of the net.
No, Svilar is unbelievable. Svilar, we can say it right there, like right now, yes. Like what this man has been doing for Roma is huge, considering how tired this team has been, how nerve-wracking these recent weeks have been. Because against Udinese, the same thing. You don't score the winner against Udinese if Svilar doesn't put a hand on Lucas' attempt on goal.
Yeah.
Tonight as well, Svilar is the reminder that a solid goalkeeper will save you and will add points to your tally at the end of the season.
Yes, and again, I would just like to reiterate my position, my expectation when it comes to goalkeeper of Roma for any other position on the pitch, my expectations, that single position is the absolute lowest, because if you have followed this club for any extended period amount of time, predating Alisson because of what we've been subjected to afterwards. But for any extended period of time, if you have followed this club, that position has been so wildly inconsistent. Okay, so wildly inconsistent. You just need somebody who is not going to piss the bed. Somebody who does not actively cost you points. That is it. That when we consider the landscape of top level goalkeepers, not only in Serie A, but throughout Europe, that is not the expectation. The expectation is that they will win you points. They will actively save results. They will actively earn you results by their saves. We are hardly ever in that position. But now with Svilar, you see the difference. You see, as you said, you see the difference. I mean, I'm in a relatively good mood after this result, because I was on a Napoli podcast prior to kickoff and I said, Roma, we're going to lose 2-1. So I'm probably upbeat. I don't know how others are feeling. It really is going to come down to what you expected coming into this. I know you didn't think tonight was going to be easy. I didn't think tonight was going to be easy, regardless of how shit Napoli has been this season. And let's make no mistake about it. They have been shit the entire season.
Tonight was easily the best performance in a long while. So yep. I've been keeping a keen eye on Napoli, because it's been really funny to see them sort of, you know, make sense of their post Scudetto hangover. But this tonight was Napoli trying to play to the level that they somehow fell off of. And tonight you could see there was a fight in them. The fans in the stands were not happy with how they were playing. the way the Calzona mishandled their result tonight and basically gifted us a win with that substitution on the corner kick was fantastic. But tonight it's about once again, you know, like I said against Bologna, you may like it, you may not like it. And I say this because in our patron press patron group chat on WhatsApp, we have a lot of people who are unhappy and who are clearly frustrated with this result. And I totally understand it. But going into a match like this and coming out of it, fatigue will play a factor in this. I mean, fatigue absolutely. Is a factor. Roma played on Thursday night. Napoli played a week ago. Okay, that's what happens. And so we have to. I know we hate the concept of excuses. I don't think that this is an excuse because it's just so visible. Roma were leading, and then the way they let Napoli back into it is just classic. The classic example of a team that is struggling, that mentally is very fragile at that point because they're already thinking about Thursday. Thursday, yes. They have to play the first leg of the Europa League semis. So once they score against Napoli, Roma foolishly assume, okay, this is it. You know, we got it out of the way. Now we can go home. Yes. No, Napoli showed their quality in those instances. They scored two goals. Milos Villar does some miracle work for Roma. He's the reason why Tammy Abraham at the end is able to level it. But this is clearly a manifestation of two teams living in two different realms of the season. Napoli, as disastrous as they've been, they have 1 week per game now, and that matters.
It does matter. It absolutely does matter. Now, again, I think tonight your reaction to this final result is all dependent upon how you viewed it. If you came into this thinking Napoli are shit, they have been shit all season. Roma, they have been flying under Daniele De Rossi. They should get all 3 points. I was never of that mindset. It is always difficult to go to Campania and to play Napoli. It is always difficult regardless of the context. Regardless of all of the storylines coming into it, it is always difficult going into that. And it is probably kind of, as you said, if you have been paying close attention to Napoli, I don't know if you watched them last weekend against Empoli. Yes, they were missing... They had a makeshift defense, but they were so bad in every department, from defense to midfield to attack. They couldn't do anything, and they just looked as they have all season, just disjointed, no flow to them. They look like complete and total strangers on the pitch, whereas tonight they are flying high. They are creating goal-scoring chances. If we just want to underscore what sort of a display Svilar put in tonight, let's put up right now the statistics from this match. So Napoli end with an XG of 3.65. That speaks for itself. That speaks for itself. Now, Roma, they didn't do bad themselves, 1.65. But even though Roma did create a lot of goal-scoring opportunities, particularly the second half, it felt like Napoli were just creating a barrage of shots. And it is kind of humorous in a way as to how Napoli get that first goal. Now, we had some patrons complaining after that first goal. And even my wife, who does not particularly care for football, she saw that goal and she goes, oh my gosh, he looks kind of silly doing that. Well, every goalkeeper looks like an idiot anytime there is a deflected shot that ends up in the back of the net like that. Every single person looks like an idiot. Every Gigi Buffon, Milos Svilar, it doesn't matter who you are, you look like an imbecile because it's a Sunday league goal. That goal is a Sunday league goal. Okay, so every goalkeeper is going to look like an idiot, backing up on their knees, trying to get to it before it desperately sails over their head. I am not going to fault him in any way, shape, or form. And by the way, I don't know how you can even levy any sort of criticism on that guy, given what he did throughout the night. Okay, he was so spectacular that he should have been allowed to do that two or three times more, given some of the things he kept out of the back of the net tonight. So their first goal, I'm not even going to entertain any discussion on it. It is pointless. I suppose the only thing, if we want to start in regards to that first goal, because Roma, they begin 59th minute, they get the penalty. The fact that it is Juan Jesus felt great. His agent.
How many times? Yeah, exactly. I knew you were about to say.
He was on WhatsApp, and the absolute willpower, because his agent talks a lot, and he is.
His agent posts on Twitter. He's a shit poster on Twitter.
He is a shit. So he is the boomer equivalent of like a 4chan kind of guy, or even not even that extreme. Maybe like Reddit, somebody who just shit posts nonstop. It's unhealthy for anybody to be on social media nonstop. But when I see somebody like him, a clear boomer, who anytime he does post, the level of dialogue that is coming out is not extremely high quality. So you kind of know what you are getting anytime you see his name flash across your timeline. You brace yourself for the stupidity. When I saw his name on WhatsApp, and I saw our previous conversations, and I saw his name light up in green, it took every fiber of my being not to shit post message him and say, wow, bravo. But listen, the fact that he has gotten that guy from Inter to Roma to Napoli is nothing short of spectacular. I am convinced if you or I appointed Mr. Calenda to represent us, we would be on Sky Sport. We would be something. We would be broadcasting somewhere, because that guy clearly has some sort of dirt on every high-ranking official involved with Italian football. The fact he has been able to get that guy from big club to big club. That aside, it felt great when he conceded that penalty. It was a penalty. I can't believe there was even any sort of discussion about it. But, of course, I was watching on DAZN. So, again, the level of dialogue and high-quality analysis that you get is not going to be great. So, Roma, they take a 1-0 lead. Paulo Dybala buries a penalty. And then 5 minutes later, and we should have known. In a way, I was bracing myself for it, because at some point, right? I mean, you felt Napoli were going to get that goal. I mean, when I looked at the statistics after the match, I thought for sure they had at least 30 shots, but they ended, I think, at 27 or 28. It felt like far more than that. The goal they get is Mancini fouled before turning that ball over. I said yes. I look like a crybaby if I say it, but in the moment I said yes. So I'm not going to waver on my stance just because the ball eventually ended up into the back of the net. I thought it was a foul. Does he have a legitimate gripe? Because I have to tell you, Mancini tonight was horrible, horrible, horrible. And to see him after that foul get up and start moaning and complaining made it hurt about 3 or 4 times worse when that ball ended up in the back of the net. It kills me when players do that. Does he have a legitimate gripe? And a legitimate case to be made on that goal. I thought it was a foul, but again, maybe I'm just being a crybaby because it ended up in the back of the net.
I think there is, you could make an argument about that. I think, listen, there is, this was a match where I don't think anybody except for SVR, Tammy in his capacity, and Ndika with the assist.
Ndika,
and I think
Ndika, man, that
overall Ndika fared much better than Mancini, and was really great to see him back, because you don't really know what it means when a player has a collapsed lung, when he goes down, when he suffers an unexpected collapse the way Ndika did, and all of a sudden you find him back in the starting lineup out of the blue. Everybody seemed to expect Huizen to start this match, with Llorente out for suspension and Smalling obviously injured again. But Ndika did really well tonight. So I thought that was the... If there is something of positive in terms of individual performances, those were the ones. Roma just allowed too much to Napoli. And again, it's the kind of mistake you make when you are too tired, because you assume that you've done enough. You've done enough and you can relax. You can do that perhaps with lesser sides, with teams that sort of have given up on the season. Napoli may have given up on the season because they're practically out of almost anything. I mean, they're fighting for Conference League, really. And but at the same time, they allowed Napoli to do too much. They underestimated their quality. Napoli have quality. If they want to hurt you, they have the quality to do it. Roma, it almost felt like something was being turned off in them. As soon as they scored, they just sort of flattened. It's not what you expect from Roma under Daniele De Rossi, but at some point it becomes inevitable. We've seen it so many times in the past. That's why I don't take too much of an issue with this result, because I think playing away from home against Napoli with the kind of condition that you were in, I mean, you didn't really even prepare for this game. You had 2 days of training.
Correct.
You had two training sessions for this game. Mentally, you're already thinking about the big match on Thursday night, which will take a hell of a lot. And it's a big deal because you're facing a team that is unbeaten. That's where your attention immediately goes to. You can't do it. You can't do it against Napoli, because no matter if they're being coached by Rudy Garcia, Zdenek Zeman, Walter Mazzari, it sounds like a bad joke, but it's real because it really happened, or Francesco Calzona, they'll punish you. They'll hurt you. That's my big takeaway, is that tonight we can't really focus on individual performances, because the whole team sort of, they just weren't, it wasn't even on the level that we saw against Bologna, because against Bologna it was no competition. Here, Roma, clearly they wanted something out of this match, but they just didn't have the means to take the 3 points.
Yeah, and that first half, I mentioned early in the group chat that I thought you could tell that they were laboring. It looked like it was extremely taxing to play the way that they knew they needed to. And I expected, and I thought Roma were going to lose tonight. I did not think they were going to leave tonight with a victory. So I can't, as like you, I can't be too critical of anybody. I do take issue slightly with some of the individual performances. Mancini, just on that action, I do not like the moaning and the whinging. I just take issue with that. Okay, if you think it's a foul, that's fine. But let's say that when there's a stoppage in play, let's not moan to the referee while the action is still going on. But beyond the likes of Svilar, as you said, I thought Paulo Dybala did well. The midfield was abysmal, but I don't know what really many could have expected. No Paredes.
Yeah. Did you ever think that you would be the one crying after Leandro Paredes, you of all people?
Well,
you could definitely come away today saying the team lost because guess what? No Paredes. Really. Like the his absence was felt. Like you could clearly see that there is like a cog missing in the midfield.
What did you think, though, of the selection at right back? Because I have to say, that was curious to see. I couldn't recall the last time Christensen started. Could you recall? Because to me, it felt like the last time we saw the guy was that goal. Was that goal against Sassuolo?
When he started, he got injured. I don't remember. It was already under De Rossi. De Rossi gave him a start, but he got injured about, a month and a half ago? 2 months, I would say. So, it was an interesting decision. I don't know, again, what to make of him. What the decision of putting him in the lineup, what does it serve? As in, what are you addressing with him in the lineup? I'm yet to understand it. I understand that De Rossi wanted to give Karsdorp a rest. I don't know why ahead of Karsdorp so important ahead of the match against Bayer Leverkusen. Is he going to play a pivotal part against them? Who knows?
Right. And that is I would say that is probably the most interesting selection beyond. I thought some of the substitutions were fairly curious as well, bringing in Angelino.
Renato Sanchez.
I thought the worst thing about this episode would be my haircut, but having been subjected to Renato Sanchez, I mean, what is there even to say? What is there even to say? Now, listen, when it comes to infamy in relation to AS Roma transfers, there is a list so long that we would be able to fill an entire summer's catalog worth of episodes going down it. And I'm sure we have done it in the past. But it is criminal. We want to talk about cruel and unusual punishment. What he did in that brief cameo, you want to talk about guys trying to think of the last time they were on the pitch. I can think of one thing that guy did positive in the colors of AS Roma, and it was scoring like the sixth goal against Empoli. And that's
the third.
Yeah, I knew it was early. But man, he looks like, forget even a shell of the guy that we saw, I mean, at Bayern Munich, one of these bright and budding young footballers who just looks like they have all the talent in the world and is ready to explode. Did he do anything correct? You want to talk about laboring to do anything? I mean, that guy looked like he was laboring to walk, to even put on his shirt. It looked like he may have pulled a muscle or something.
No, but let's not turn this into a slander. I didn't mean to.
No, but come on, man.
I think the deeper issue is that for a number of seasons we find ourselves in a position where near the end of each season there's always one or two key players missing, and we never seem to have the answer of somebody who could make up for their absence. As in, tonight you miss Leandro Paredes. Now, that's normal because Leandro Paredes is a player who intercepts the ball a lot, makes a lot of tackles. He's bound to get too many yellow cards. He's bound to get suspended. Fine. Who do you have that will replace him? You have Eduardo Bove. He's struggled under De Rossi. Who else? José Mouar, Renato Sanchez, who have failed to make an impact or have just not the right characteristics for that particular position and in doing what Paredes has been doing so well under De Rossi. In previous years, it was always Dybala is out. Who do you have to replace him? Nobody. Gini Wijnaldum, who was there? I mean, you know, in years prior to that, the same thing. Pellegrini is out. Who do you have to replace him with? Right? Like, and it always happens in the moment of the season where you need answers. And De Rossi just right now went on and he said, I need everybody. Doesn't matter if it's Indica, who just collapsed 2 weeks ago, if it's Renato Sanchez, who hasn't played a full 90 minutes since God knows when, if it's Tammy
Abraham. Has he played a single 90 minutes? He played it once and he got hurt immediately didn't he?
Yeah.
Jose Mourinho mentioned it.
Yeah. So doesn't matter if it's Tammy Abraham who scores his first goal in over 10 months. So
yeah.
It's all about needing people, but you need players who are ready. Tonight, the problem is that somebody like Renato Sanchez is just not ready for the moment. This is a complicated match. There is a lot of pressure involved. Roma are struggling to contain Napoli. You cannot make mistakes, and you have to have somebody come off the bench and provide you with energy. It's like Gini Wijnaldum in the Europa League final. You need somebody there. Mm. Why is that guy not responding adequately? Why is he out of energy? Why is he not providing you with the answers you need at that point in time? It's the same thing. Roma have been always forced near the end of the season into a position where if their number one option is not there, they don't have an answer. And that's been, for me, that's been the main issue. That's been the underlying issue of these past seasons. Despite your progress in European competitions, you always find yourself in a moment where Chris Smalling is out, you're helpless. You have what last season? What Marash Kumbula? You know, you had Marash Kumbula, then Marash Kumbula is injured, and you're basically bound to pray that Diego Llorente works out as a backup to the backup. That's the thing. Is we always seem to be in the same. So someone like Daniele De Rossi right now is looking at that bench and thinking to himself, my God, in a few days' time, I'm playing against Bayer Leverkusen. and the team that is unbeaten, that is just steamrolling everybody, that is making incredible comebacks, that has achieved its first Bundesliga title in history. So who do I have that I can rely on if the number one options are not there?
Well, yes, I absolutely agree in the sense that he is absolutely saying that to himself. I suppose my apprehension is, if we are giving that guy or relying on him in even slightly meaningful minutes against Napoli, then perhaps I have underestimated the difficulty of the moment that they are in, or perhaps I have underestimated the lack of depth that they have. I can't physically bring myself to watch that cameo that he did. I mean, he was so bad. It was almost as if you were playing with 10 men. I mean,
okay, I understand. You see, but you're turning it into a slandering.
No, but seriously, I mean, come on. In the summer, this is viewed as a loan where you bring the guy in.
I understand. I understand, John. But the guy hasn't been fit for years and years. Why would it change now? When we saw it, we thought it was going to change in those opening 3 months of his loan. He was giving us signs. He was giving us positive signs that whenever he was on, we could rely on him. In recent months, his form has dropped off the face of the earth. You cannot possibly expect a guy like him to handle the kind of pressure that is involved in these games. We're talking about the season finale, where every game is being turned into a must win, where every game has such a huge amount of pressure because of the teams that you have behind you, because of the stakes that are involved. You cannot make mistakes. How can you expect somebody like Renato Sanches, who hasn't played a single minute in God knows how long, have the kind of impact that you want in this kind of match?
But that's exactly the point. I'm not even expecting him to make an impact. I am expecting him not to completely piss himself on the pitch. And that is where my absolute bewilderment as to how somebody can be so ineffective would be a compliment for what he did out there tonight. I mean, to view somebody it was almost as if we were seeing in real time. That was like this brief cameo appearance of his, in my opinion, was the embodiment, the metaphor of his career over these last few years. It was, in a way, it was sad to see. Beyond the anger, it was sad to see. But we spent 6 minutes talking about the guy who's made like five appearances all season. That in and of itself should be criminal. Okay, I'm just going to end the thing on Renato Sanches now. It's not even worth getting into. Before going on to Bayer Leverkusen, nice to see Tammy Abraham getting back on the score sheet. Yeah, I thought beyond sort of the instincts of his to on that corner kick, to sort of read that situation as good as he did, that flick on of the off his hand by Indica was superb, world class. I don't even know how to describe it, but it was absolutely superb to see him get on the end of it and to see Indica deliver that perfectly flicked on header of his. I thought that action was beyond the saves of Svilar. Was probably the highlight of the evening for me, because from an attacking standpoint, very little came off for Roma beyond obviously the penalty early in the second half. They struggled everywhere tonight, and as you said, I don't necessarily think that should surprise many people. This is exactly why, by the way, they complained as loudly and profusely as they did about the match having to be replayed against Udinese. I still cannot understand the sense of that. Even though Udinese, in a way, did a favor to Roma by holding Bologna, still, I just can't bring myself to understand the Lega Serie A's decision in having that match just a few days before this one, because, as Roma stated, I mean, Andy, the knock-on effect that this is going to have in the first leg, this tie was already going to be difficult between Roma, Bayer Leverkusen. I mean, now you are in a rush to recover, and
one day less than a Bayer Leverkusen side that is cruising. So I'm just saying that it makes Roma coming off from what they are coming off of in terms of just the physical, mental effort that they've put in over these last few weeks was wow. It's scary to think about.
So then where are you then with this tie? Because, of course, there was some slight discussion in the group chat by some of the patrons as to it wasn't ship this Europa League tie, but at some point, decisions are going to have to be made in these final days. Because if you look at the schedule, okay, you look at the remaining calendar, you look at what Roma have to pack in such a short amount of time, Daniele De Rossi is going to have to make some very difficult decisions, as he did tonight. Listen, we made fun of Renato Sanchez for 7 minutes. I'm sure it didn't feel great to him to have to look at that guy. No, he hasn't played any meaningful football.
Yeah, that's what he said. That's what he said
in since 2023 and said, hey, you, come on in. Crucial league match.
That's what Daniele De Rossi just said, is my choice to have him out there penalized him. This guy hasn't played 90 minutes ever with a Roma shirt. So how can I expect him to perform in this context? That's the problem. Going into a match against Bayer Leverkusen, you need to know who you can count on. Renato Sanchez, in what capacity after a showing like this can help you on Thursday? Where do you have the motivation to actually go to him and say, now go on that pitch and show him, you know? Where does that come from? How can you even look at the guy and say on Thursday night, hey, you feel like going in there and helping out your teammates?
Yeah. Do you want to get some run in tonight? Well, then what are your expectations then for this first leg? Because I have to tell you, much like tonight, I am not going to say I am expecting a loss, because Roma clearly get up for these European nights. They clearly have a very different mindset. So in these last few years, we have all learned not to underestimate them when it comes to Europa League, Conference League, whatever it may be. I think the situation that they're in now, really, other than the final of last year, right? It does have some resemblance to it, where we all remember Paulo Dybala gets hurt against Atalanta, and then it is a race to recover. But even still, with weeks to recover, Roma, if we want to go back just 1 year ago, I mean, they are hobbling into that final. They are hobbling, even against Bayer Leverkusen. Yeah, I mean, we remember that as well. April and May, really these last three seasons combined, have been the most unkind and unlucky portion of the entire season for Roma, because in the moment where you need certain guys most, they have not been available. They have not been at your disposal. And we are seeing that ring true now, particularly with guys who have been unavailable all season. Chris Smalling, for instance, returns, and then he's hurt again. So you really don't even, and that is a frustrating part too, you don't even know who you can rely on, because you don't know who is going to be there. Even Romelu Lukaku, we've said all season, he and Paulo Dybala are clearly and obviously the two most high-quality players within this team. Well, you just went without Romelu Lukaku against Bologna. You went without them against the replay against Udinese. We are still waiting to see what to expect of him for this first leg against Bayer Leverkusen. So I can't even make a prediction, but I can't even have a feeling until I know who is available or not. And unfortunately, that seems to be the situation with Roma from week to week, where if this team is healthy, I don't think there is any doubting that they are worthy of a Champions League place. But for the previous, it's 28th of April, really for the last month and a half, even if you want to go to January, we have had guys in, out, available, unavailable, just, you know, like that, where you think you have Chris Smalling. We see Chris Smalling put in a masterclass at San Siro 3.5 weeks ago. And now he's gone. Gone.
Yeah. Again, how? Probably back on Thursday, maybe along with Lukaku. And it's true. As in, it's true how important, how, you know, absolutely impactful these absences are and have been at this time of the season. Every year for the past 3 years, it's been the same thing. And we cannot, we're in a position where it becomes so scary, this unpredictability, because you know that this team can be great. And we've seen this team turn it on. And you just don't happen to be in a European semifinal if you're not a good team. And Roma have shown how good they were against Milan. They showed not only quality, but attitude as well. They had the odd attitude that is typical of a team that wants to win. The problem is, again, Romelu Lukaku arguably was having some of the better performances under Daniele De Rossi this season when he went down. The way he, it seemed like he'd finally unlocked the way Daniele De Rossi wanted him to play. He finally understood what the man wanted from him. And that's what he was giving us when he went down. Chris Smalling, as you said, has one of the most impressive defensive performances of all season of all any Roma defenders, goes down at time and time again. And so you go into a match against Bayer Leverkusen. What do I expect? What can I expect? Because there are a lot of people who are laughing about this. You know, can Roma be the team to deliver Bayer Leverkusen their first loss? I mean, it would be poetic, but what are the chances? Mm. How can Roma feel motivated going into this match? I think definitely the way this draw with Napoli came about is still encouraging. Because yes, you were trailing. You were trailing, and at the end, you survive. You get 1 point, you move on. And it's still 1 point against a really good team. Really good team in terms of roster and stuff. Okay. But going into this game against Bayer Leverkusen, you're going to face a team that is almost like the stuff of legends. If you look at the latest results, have they always managed to do just that, to always survive no matter the context, no matter the circumstances? How can you even possibly think about being the team that hurts them? So I just want to see a Roma play with dignity. That's all. I'll keep it simple. Play with dignity. Show me the same attitude you showed against Milan, and we'll be fine.
Yeah, that is exactly my mindset as well. Even, listen, whatever way the chips fall, so to speak, as long as they play with some of the things we saw against Milan, I don't think you can really ask for more, particularly given all the names they have out. We still don't know, again, who's going to be available for this first leg? Who's going to be available for the second leg? There are three or four guys who are so crucial to this team, okay, that we don't know definitively one way or the other if they are going to be available. So, listen, you have to temper your expectations, much like tonight. Even though Napoli have been horrific all season, I did not expect a victory. So I am coming out of tonight 2-2 draw, happy. Let's see what happens against Bayer Leverkusen. I think predicting something or somehow trying to rationalize a result one way or the other in your mind, you're just going to let yourself down. So listen, as long as if they show half of what they did against Milan, they're going to be in this tie. Whether they lose, draw, win on Thursday, they're going to be in it. They're going to be in it. Let's just see what happens. But we will be back after that first leg. So until then, ciao.